When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to
episode
6 of Undercooked and Overlooked, a critical analysis of Rob Schneider's attempt to shake up the television industry in his Netflix series, Real Rob. My name is Tim Batt.
I'm Guy Montgomery.
And you introduced the guest. This is how this works.
I really introduced myself.
No,
if you like.
You've come all this way, Alice.
That's
and
true.
Joining us on this episode is...
Make sure you add a bio.
Fantastic Kiwi comedian, writer, columnist, and podcaster extraordinaire, Alice Sneddon.
Hi, Alice. Would you like to introduce yourself? Or do you think Tim did a good enough job?
I wasn't paying attention.
Because wow.
I thought that we were throwing to Guy, and I was like, I've really stitched him up here. He'll have to do a great bio.
We're
but
less than a meter away.
I know. I was so completely tuned out. But I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for mentioning the column.
You're welcome.
Well, yeah, I mean, the column's your big earner, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, this, of course, for your reference and those at home who might be tuning for the first time, is a show that is self-funded. Written, produced, directed by and starring the titular Rob. This was episode 6. It was called Cleaning House, purportedly about cleaning out a house.
What was it about?
Alice, you look as low. I've spent a handful of time with you. I have a vague handle on your mood. This appears to be sort of plumbing the depths.
I don't even know how to put into words how much I hated what just happened on screen, almost for every second of the time that it was on screen. First of all, I've never liked Rob Schneider. So, you know what? I'll be honest with you. He came in with, you know, with a handicap.
Sure.
Can you still say that? I'm talking about the golfing
term.
Yeah,
sure.
And I'll be honest, he blew my expectations out of the water in the negatives.
You came in expecting something
terrible.
And what you got was somehow...
something that's pushed me to the brink of a real irreversible depression.
Yeah. So, 14 minutes into this 5-minute episode, you said, and I quote, "I honestly think this is putting me into a depression." Thankfully, moments later, you were brought out of your funk by the line spoken by his wife, Patricia, "I think you're confusing antique with piece of shit." And I just put a footnote saying, "Belly laugh from Sneddon."
Lies.
That's true. Do you remember laughing at that line?
I do remember laughing at that line, but in an ironic way.
Very difficult to discern.
It is. God, I just... You know what? I can't actually... I'm not in a good space to articulate all of the things that I find wrong with the show.
For everyone who wants to, Alice is sort of on her haunches, leaning on both her knees, staring 1,000 yards into the ground beneath her.
I'm so sorry. I don't know if this is good content.
It's wonderful.
Okay.
Maybe we should start with... Actually, I do want to try and capture your mood right now as best as you can articulate it.
Okay.
Based on what you've just seen. Look,
here's the best way I can articulate it.
Sure.
When you work in a creative profession, what you do is you push shit uphill for, you know, a number of years, let's say decades, in the hope that at one point in your life you will be given a shot to show people what you are capable of. What I have just witnessed is a man who's been given shot after shot and is and he's used that shot in a literal sense to put a bullet through my head.
Jesus. Could you please tell us the plot?
I can't.
As best as you
can. The normal structure of a sitcom is in, I'm going to get so worked up about this. A normal structure is that it is in three acts. What he had was a series of vignettes loosely related. Oh my God, I'd forgotten about the talking heads. He had talking heads at one point. So normally you'll see a sitcom, and sometimes they'll have, like Seinfeld did, like little interstitials where you'll see him do stand-up. This had stand-up and talking heads, and then the longest establishing shots I've ever seen in any sitcom.
Well, you were.
I'm furious that there are people starving in the world, and he's used his money to create something that is making our lives actively worse.
You were lucky in that you got to see the full arsenal of weapons in Rob Schneider's storytelling.
He cut from one of the talking heads to a stand-up bit in this episode. The man is losing his fucking mind.
He's playing with the form.
I was worried that this podcast might be punching down on Rob Schneider.
You are the one who introduced us to this potential pitfall.
Yes, and now having watched that, it's important that he gets punched in the face as many times as possible.
Jesus.
I'll just say that on behalf of Guy and myself, we would never advocate for violence against Rob Schneider, but Alice Nedden,
I'm happy to go out on a limb.
That's a direct quote.
Well, a few moments that jump out for your visceral reaction to them. One of them, I think, the entire room was on absolute tenterhooks. In one of the stand-up vignettes, he starts talking about how even Stephen Hawking got divorced, and then he very slowly reaches into the inside pocket of his blazer and removes a pair of glasses, and the whole room inhaled in anticipation for what will surely be a bone-crunchingly good Stephen Hawking impersonation.
You know what? I actually respected his stand-up more than any other part of the show. Especially the Stephen Hawking bit, because I was like, oh, he went there.
It wasn't as bad as... It was as offensive as I was expecting, but it was funnier than I was expecting, his Stephen Hawking joke.
Yeah. The problem that got me about it is that it did not follow the logical structure of a joke. But it also didn't do something which is subvert the structure of a joke. It more misunderstood the structure of a joke.
Can I ask you a question? Do you like jazz music?
No.
So, okay, back to the plot. So take us through as best you can. What happened in this ep?
Okay, I'll give you the outline of the plot.
Here we go.
Rob Schneider. I don't know how it begins.
I can't remember
either.
They've
got spirits in their house. Bad.
If you can cast your mind back, the cold open was Rob Schneider in a laundromat.
Oh, fuck, that's right.
Just happened. We just finished watching this.
Just being incredibly rude to a father and son in the laundromat about how these washing machines aren't for people, they're for dogs. They're for dog piss.
They're for dog vomit.
But why would he be there washing them when he has the much belaboured assistant do the other much
because
far
the
worse...
much belaboured assistant Jamie Lasseau, who co-writes the show, is not to be trusted with a scene that shows such burgeoning comic potential, for he will surely bungle his big opportunity.
This really does show that you should never tell someone to give up on comedy. Because
anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
But isn't it more a lesson that you should tell some people to give up on comedy?
No.
Because it's like a killing baby Hitler thing, you know? Don't you think? Like, some people, if just they continue to be enabled and catch enough lucky breaks, they can produce this work, which we're watching, Real Rob. Which I really... To say, but I agree with you that this being out there is making the world a worse place, which I don't enjoy saying because it's someone's attempt at art. And I think that you need to be open to lots of people's different version of how to express themselves. But this is such fucking hot garbage that it hurts that it exists.
You specifically said you think it's damaging the Netflix brand.
Yes, I do. I strongly stand by that. Netflix does a job of... I mean, honestly, as I just about to launch into this rant, I realized they had Ricky Gervais's Humanity up there, so it's not impenetrable. But they'd be better off displaying and keeping the work of sexual abusers than they would.
Jesus Christ.
Wait, you're crossing the streams. You mean Louis C.K., not Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, I mean Louis C.K. Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, I was like, I'd rather you just keep fucking... I'm blown away by the fact that... I'm not bringing a good energy.
No, you're doing okay. You're reacting honestly to what we watched.
We've watched 5 episodes of this today.
I'd like to say...
I can't believe that. I genuinely can't believe that.
I'd like
that.
To say, for your reference, Alice, I think that the cold open we saw... was probably the funniest and best executed of all the cold opens that we've had on the show so far. It was one coherent joke or extended sort of riff or stanza. It had a beginning and an end. There has been evidence through the previous 2 episodes that Rob Schneider is learning as he goes.
Yeah, that's good. You know what? That brings me hope.
No,
that's progress.
But I don't agree.
Progress.
I don't agree with that assessment. As the only other person in the room who's watched the trajectory of the show, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all. For him to go from one of the talking head bits into a stand-up bit instead of back to the show
It's called Don't Be Afraid to Fail, you know?
Yeah, that's but true. You should I'm actually coming around hard on this. I'm making a full 90-degree right turn.
This show hasn't got any better. It's gotten different, and each episode fails in its own way, but it has not. I don't think it's improved from the pilot.
I have a question. Has his wife ever showed an interest in the performing arts before?
So there is a mention of in the episode, because this is autobiographical, I take the little tidbits of information they give us as real.
Yeah.
So there's a mention that she's 29, which blows my mind.
She's 29.
Well, that's what they said in the show, and I believe that that would be true, because why would you not? Yeah. Unless he thinks it's really funny.
The other
thing is that she said in one of the episodes that she came from Mexico, where she had a life as a TV producer.
Yeah, she's got a lot of producer credits here, dating back to 2007. Her acting debut was in a short called Alcahest in 2006 as Patricia Snyder, so as herself. And since then, the only splash she has made in the entertainment industry is as a performer, is beginning with Real Rob. You will be excited to hear she will be featuring in Fight or Flight in 2016, which I don't think has been released, but it has been completed. And Planeta 5000.
There's so much good footage, it's taking them two years to
She is simultaneously making her writing and performing debut in this show.
Wow.
And, I've got to say, up against Rob Schneider, she's acting her pants off.
I don't think she's all right.
I will say that whatever bar has been set by this show, she is well clearing it.
But Jamie isn't, somehow.
No, I...
Although he doesn't feature heavily in this episode, because he's sick.
What is his background? Is he...
He's a stand-up. He's some sort of stand-up comedian.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's good or has charisma.
No, but you'd imagine that it would mean those things. When I think stand-up comedian... who has a TV show, you know, I would say those are the fundamental prerequisites.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, we did have another cameo on this episode. It's always a treat for us here at...
Who was the cameo?
Undercooked and Overlooked. George Lopez.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Lopez, that's right. I've forgotten about that bit as well.
Well, it's hard to remember all this stuff because it doesn't appear to happen consecutively or in any meaningful way. They just sort of keep throwing stuff up in the air and it lands where it lands.
That's right. He had the guy come in to do the spirit cleaning. And then the guy was like, I need marijuana. So then we followed this whole thing about medical marijuana for a good 5 minutes before returning back to...
The house.
Where
the spirit cleaner had just
remained.
Presumably been hanging out.
Watching TV or something.
We are then treated to, definitely in the top 3 continuity errors in the series so far, where there's a back and forth and the spirit cleaner is wearing a... What do you call them? Like a cap
thing. It's a skull cap, sort of.
That's right, yeah. It's a stocking.
It's a stocking. It's a head thing. A little thing for the head. It's like
it's called a skull cap.
I thought a skull cap was another...
It's very long at the back.
It's like a do-rag.
Much longer than a normal skull rag. It was more like a scarf that was tied around
it. Let's call it a head scarf. And in one of the back and forths, it disappears. And then you cut back to Rob's angle. And then it's back there. And then you go back again. And then it's gone. And you go back to Rob and it's there again.
In 5 seconds. They get it wrong 3 or 4 times. Which I think was the moment where I thought, well, maybe Rob Schneider is actually actively trolling the audience.
Oh, okay.
Do you reckon...
I mean, it's unlikely that he has the ambition or wherewithal to execute such a vision, but that's not a difficult scene to reshoot.
No, and do you know what? Here's the thing that I noticed as well. In that sequence, the bit where it's going back and forth during the cutting is because he just repeats a sentence, like, incredulously. I can't remember what the wording is, but he's like, is it? So it's like, you could just edit that repetition out, and you would actually be fine. So the editor has either, by their own volition, or been instructed from on high, from Rob, to fucking keep it in. I see it, we all see it. Alice gasped when it happened.
I did, yeah. It was quite shocking. Oh, because the only other continuity error I've ever noticed that bad before is in Love Actually. You heard of this film?
Where's the continuity error?
It's an ensemble comedy. And
do you like it?
I love it. But I know it's actually problematic, but I enjoyed it at the time that I enjoyed Friends as well, which is like, you know, when I was less aware.
We don't need to get into
it. Okay, all right, let's not. But in Love Actually, the Laura Linney's like crush is sitting on the end of the bed, and he's got pants on, and then we see her, and then we cut back to him, and he's not wearing any pants. Now, it's not a continuity error I would ever complain about. It's quite honestly a great surprise.
I like to think in those ones, there's one in We Are Your Friends as well, where Zac Efron's on the ground, and then it cuts back, and then less than a second, he's standing up again. I like to imagine just a mad scramble. So it's
what's happened?
This guy just is frantically trying to get his pants off.
She's talking about how her brother's ill, and he's like, oof.
Oh, my God, I got to get it out.
Do you know what? I think I was too hard on Rob. I want to pull it back a little
bit. Okay, cool. Well, here's your opportunity.
And speak to the positives of the show, which are that...
yes. Really get that microphone in there so we can hear.
Yeah, it's amazing to see somebody really put their money where their mouth is. That takes a lot of bravery and, you know, for that I have respect for him that he has the confidence to back up his ideas with his hard-earned and often, you know, if we're honest, easily earned cash. So for that, I say, you know, kudos to you, Rob.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Do you think maybe an extra set of eyes on the script or the direction or any element of the production might have been of use?
Yeah, here's what I think happened. I think all three of them wrote their lines independently. And then they arrived at set on the day of shooting. And they were like, okay, I know what I'm doing in this scene, and all individually. And then they go, Rob goes action. He runs in front of the camera. There's no cameraman. He's behind the camera. He sets up the shot. He yells action. He runs in front of the camera. And then they all say their lines that they'd individually planned with no adjustment for what the other person has just said. And then he goes, cut. When there's been a silence of about a minute, because he doesn't know what everyone's got planned. And then he goes, we've got it in the can.
No, I mean, he goes, actually, we'll shoot it again from an angle that is 15 degrees different, just so that we've got coverage, something that we can cut to.
Does everyone remember what they were doing? No? Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. I like to think of him having seen Curb Your Enthusiasm and heard about the process, being like, guys, we're going to do the same thing Curb Your Enthusiasm do. We're all going to write our own lines and just show up and perform them.
He definitely had it. Here's my second theory. This is my B theory. He had a coffee with Larry David.
sitting at a table adjacent to Larry David, yeah. And listened to half a phone call while he explained the concept.
And he thought Larry David was on the phone discussing how he made Curb Your Enthusiasm, but in fact he was on the phone discussing probably like a mixture of things. I'd say he was planning a funeral. Talking his way through a divorce, and also recalling a recipe to somebody.
And you think Rob was furiously writing
various
this down.
Bits of those conversations, and was like, "I understand how he made the show." And then my third and final theory is that he said to himself, "You know what? I've got 50 minutes of stand up that goes okay, and I have." How many episodes is this?
Eight in a season. Two seasons.
Are there two seasons of this show?
Believe it, Alice.
Well, after the first season did so
Who
well.
Who funded the second season?
He
Rob
did.
Schneider.
He funded
the Schneider estate.
Did he make back his money on the first season?
We have no idea because all Tim the Netflix...
Tim thinks that he paid Netflix to take it. I think he sold it to Netflix for less than it cost him to make.
You are like welling up.
There was
talk
a joke.
It out. No, hold on. Talk it out. What is this?
I just can't believe
that he funded it.
That this is how Trump got elected.
Rob Schneider he's a Trump supporter, isn't he?
Surely not.
Oh, he's sort of, I think he's flirted with the idea.
He's probably
fucking daughter's a pop star.
He'll be a Ron Paul supporter.
Rob Schneider's daughter.
Has he even older daughter who's a pop star?
Yeah.
Oh, incredible.
She did that song, that huge song.
She's successful.
Yeah, she's successful. She had one big song.
Crazy. I didn't know that. Does she have the Schneider name or does she have like
different
a performance
name.
Stage name?
Ellie King?
Yeah. What's the big song she had? It was
Studio.
How old is she? Because in this show.
I almost just cried then, legitimately.
X's really... and O's?
Yes. But you'd recognize it.
Okay.
How old is she? How old is Ellie?
Like 21, 22?
She was born in...
90?
89. She's 29.
She's 20. Yeah, fuck me.
28. Because this show is about him raising a one-year-old as well. So
I saw that right at the very end. I had not been introduced to this child yet once before, but right at the very end, I think he was attempting to...
What's going on? Oh, you're playing it. No, we don't have the rights to music.
So let's go to the chorus.
She's got a good voice by the sounds
really
of that.
Good. She sounds like Duffy.
Yes, she does. Yeah, she absolutely does. Well, she's got a great voice. That's awesome. That's so cool. Yeah, cool. People aren't going to hear a whole lot of that on these mics, but...
We know.
We know. You should look up that song. It's good.
Where were we? You were just sort of in a K-hole. There was actually one of his stand-up jokes got me. I laughed genuinely at it. It was where he was discussing the Beatles.
Yep, that was a good bit.
And he's talking about Paul McCartney in a concert, and he's saying...
He's 72.
You're 72. He's talking about Paul McCartney playing new music. He's, you're 72. You might not make it through the show. End on a hit. It's funny.
Is it?
Funny enough.
Yeah. Do you know what? His Paul McCartney impression was easily the best acting he'd done throughout the
entire
episode.
He was a core cast member in the Bad Boys vs. like 1990 to 94.
I forget that about him.
I reckon Rob Schneider's not a bad comic actor. I think he's a terrible writer.
He's an alright impressionist, I think.
What? No. Have you seen any of his shit where he's just like...
Well, not at broad strokes of entire, you know, cultures.
I thought his Stephen Hawking was pretty good.
Really?
He showcased a pretty decent...
It's like the easiest... It's like an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation. You do the robot voice.
Oh, really?
You
do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation.
What, he didn't do an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. You said it was easy. So go on, hit us with your flawless impression.
Timbit, non-impressionist Timbit with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Let me tell you about... Oh, fuck, I can't
Have
even
you
key
started?
In. I need to key in. Hold on.
What's you're off key.
No, you key in to the Arnie voice.
Give me your...
It's not a tumor. I need your jacket, your boots, and your motorcycle.
It's hot garbage.
Rainier Wolfcastle.
Well, that's based on Arnie. So
I'll tell you what I liked about it was that you didn't go for the easy quote,
which is
"I'll be back."
Yeah. Was that it then?
Yeah, that's my Arnold Schwarzenegger impression is "I'll be back." Don't quite, you stay here. Yeah, I'll be back.
Quite a different movie. Quite a different tone.
Same movie.
1 second, please.
I'll be back in my own time.
As it was originally scripted. 1 second, please. There was a funny bit because Rob, his personality is kind of a composite of all these things that he's skim read, I think, online. And he's sort of, at one point,
he's like a Russian bot.
Yeah, he's trying to explain to his Mexican American wife mm-hmm. what America is and how they do things in America.
God, I'd forgotten about
And he says,
God,
in America,
so much
we have these things called myth busting and random shootings, which is meant to be a gag, I think. But knowing who he is, and this is semi-autobiographical, all I wanted him to say afterwards, we've got these things called myth-busting and random shootings and vaccinations. And if you give them to your children, yeah. It leads to autism.
That's great. Yeah, so can we actually Google that? Because we keep, I don't think we've said this in the podcast, but we keep referencing that we think Schneider is an anti-vaxxer. Does that ring any bells, Alice? You go online?
Yeah, I do go online, thank you. I can't say that I've spent an inordinate amount of time going online specifically looking up for information pertaining
to Rob
Schneider.
And
what
or not
I have here is a 4 minute, 28 second video with mm-hmm. the title, Rob Schneider Speaks Out Against Vaccines.
And well, that's brave, you know?
it's from like a pro, it's like, a, or not pro, but it's from a channel called TruthTube 1111.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, can I tell you something?
Educate before you vaccinate.
Oh, fuck.
Guess who else is an anti-vaxxer?
Jim Carrey?
No.
I think he flirted with it when he
Robert
was...
Robert De Niro.
No.
Really?
But Robert De Niro's senile.
Yeah, he's off the boil
Do
in a big way.
Do you reckon he's senile?
Yeah.
No, is he?
Yeah, Robert De Niro's old.
Yeah, we didn't make you senile. That's ageist, mate.
So special.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is in her 80s and still a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, but she's not a fucking anti-vaxxer, mate.
He's 74.
My mum's only 72, so I think actually you're on to something.
Don't bring the great Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg into this. Hey, as a special audio treat, do you want to play some of that? Because I think we can do this. I'm going to sacrifice my mic so that we can hear a little bit of Schneider. So, Guy, is this him talking about...
Yeah,
vaccine
I haven't
stuff.
Watched this before, but we're just going to at random play some
okay,
of it.
Okay, hold on. It's not plugged in. I got to unplug me. Hold on.
Well, my wife is 5 months pregnant, and I'm for parental rights, not government coercion, telling us what we can do, what we can't do with our kids. There is no other mandated procedure. First of all, it's illegal. You can't make people do procedure that they don't want. The parents have to be the ones who make the decisions for what's best for our kids. It can't be the government saying that. It's against the Nuremberg laws. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's against the state constitution, and it's against their own bylaws here. I mean, I've been reading some legislation that was passed years ago about they used to do state sterilizations, and they thought that that was a good thing. You know, so you can't let the state make the decisions. The people have to decide, and parents have to decide, and that's why I'm here. You know, the idea that the state is going to tell me what I can do with my kids. First of all, and the doctors are not going to tell you both sides of the issue. They're not, because they are. They're told by the pharmaceutical industry, which makes billions
this
of dollars.
This is the best episode of Real
it's
World.
It's completely
yeah.
safe. And let me tell you, they've gone from when you and I were kids, you had like 8 shots.
Do you know, he raises
yeah, he raised a lot of good points.
Yeah, it's not the most ridiculous version of it, but a lot of what he says is like incorrect. And there's so few states that are like legally mandating. I don't think. Well, I don't know about any states that are legally mandating you to get it. This is something that, like, because my wife is a GP, she gets real riled up about. She's like, literally, vaccines are, like, literally the greatest thing we've ever invented. Like, they've saved... That and clean water are the things that have saved more lives through science than any other thing we've done.
Can I talk about...
Jenny McCarthy's kid autism.
Well, that's
but
an indisputable fact.
Because she fixed it.
She fixed
speaking
it.
Of, you know... cure-alls for health. You know, the Hospital of Patch Adams, I think comedy is a fine cure for anything that ails you. And speaking of a real high point in terms of comedy while watching episode 6 of Real Rob, Cleaning House, how about those Fart FX?
Oh, yes! The shit gags.
How
was Rob even... So Rob makes a chicken soup for Jamie, but it's like on purpose got Campylobacter or something.
Yeah, it's got Campylobacter in it because he won't let his wife try it.
Wait, so how do you say it? Is it Campylobacter? Campylobacter, I don't know. Yeah. But thank you for not making fun of me and just sailing through.
Campylobacter on the 45.
So, because his wife goes to get a spoonful of it, and he's like, "That's not for us. I'm cooking this for Jamie. Exactly. It's safe for Jamie. It's not safe for us." And then, predictably, he gets the shit.
Is that he actively poisons his assistant,
but why?
And then chastises him when his assistant can't come in because he's sick. Those are the actions of a madman.
It's that disorder, you know, when parents poison their kids.
Munchausen.
Yeah, it's that.
That'll be me one day.
But worse, because that's got a logic to it, where the parent is trying to, like, you know, be doting and mothering. So it's like trying to put your child in a vulnerable state so you can parent them. Rob's just like, "I'm going to poison you. I don't understand why you're sick." It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Alice, if you could say anything to Rob Schneider, what would you say to him right now?
I'd like to audition for a part. In your series Real Rob.
Well, there's every chance he's listening along.
What would your ideal role be in season 3?
Oh, that's such a good question. I reckon I'm going to come in as his lefty like neighbour. Like his like really hard left like feminist neighbour.
You'll be a lesbian, by the way, on this show.
On this show, absolutely, I'll be a lesbian. I have to shave my hairs.
Yes, correct.
Yeah,
and
go topless. Like I think every scene I'll be in will be my breasts will be pixelated, and I'll constantly be washing my clothes under the hose.
Yes, it would be a pitch perfect piece of casting for your appearance in Real Rob.
And I'll probably not live in my house. I'll be on a tent on the front lawn.
Perfect.
And I'll be against some sort of like normal recycling.
Well, the great news is you don't even need to submit. You can just show up on set on the day with this character and lines ready to go and get ready to tuck into some lovely work.
I reckon that's how they get all the extras on this, is that Rob Schneider, because this is filmed in his house without question. Is that,
which is why it's so staggering they couldn't reshoot the witch doctor scene. You've got access to the set 24 hours a day.
I don't know if you noticed, but all of the lighting is just overhead. And so he's on the star tour, and that's how they get all their extras. They only shoot this show between the hours of like 11:45 a.m. and 12 p.m. which is when the star bus rolls around the front of their house, and he goes, "Great, we've got a garage sale scene. Can you guys just pop out and just be the attendees here?"
That's probably why they look so demoralized when they're performing as well.
They really do.
I think that's us. Alice, have you got anything you'd like to plug? We don't know when this is going to be released.
Your podcast maybe, Alice?
Oh yeah,
that I produce.
Bones of the Heart. Yeah,
Bones of the Heart.
I thought it was called Boner Patrol.
No, that's a wicked rumour that's going around that I will squash.
Well, consider it squashed.
Bonus of the Heart.
Fantastic, Alice. Then check her out on Boner Patrol. I'd like to end this episode with a quote from Rob Schneider, and one that I imagine he was saying both in character and as the director and sort of showrunner to all of the crew and cast on set, which is, "Don't do it for me, do it to keep your job." Okay?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.